The AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Arriving back in Washington in the past hours, President Trump having left the G7 summit in Canada because of the Iran-Israel fighting. Aboard Air Force One, the president was asked if he's looking for a ceasefire.
An end. A real end, not a ceasefire. An end. So something that will be permanent. Giving up entirely. It's okay, too.
Happening several times, the most recent hours ago, Palestinians shot dead by, witnesses say, Israeli troops near a food aid center run by a new U.S.-Israeli military group. 51 dead, says the Gaza Health Ministry. No comment from the Israeli military. One of the worst Russian air attacks in Ukraine's capital happened overnight. Drones and missiles killing at least 14, say Ukrainian officials. One of the doctors accused of supplying ketamine to the Friends TV star Matthew Perry before his overdose death is now expected to plead guilty. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Republicans have approved an increase in funding for Wisconsin schools at a fraction of what the governor asked for. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Republicans' plan increases school funding by about $330 million, but school districts will see no increase in general aid. Instead, that money goes to specific programs meant for special education and mental health. State Senator Mark Bourne, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee.
The governor's budget is always reckless spending that the state can't afford. And so we're choosing to make key investments and priorities. And these investments today will be some of the largest, they'll be the largest investments you'll see in the budget. I don't think we'll get to another agency where we'll put that level of funding in because it is a priority, but you have to be able to afford it.
Statewide, about 15% of students have individualized education plans, meaning they have some sort of special needs. Right now, for every dollar spent on special education, the state only pays about 31 cents. That's one of the lowest reimbursement rates in the nation. The governor's plan would have raised it to 60 cents. Republicans' proposal they approve increases special ed reimbursement from about 31 cents on the dollar to 37.5 cents. But according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, it would increase reimbursement to 90% next year for kids with the highest level of needs. That's 3% of students in Wisconsin public schools. Republicans hope adding money for these programs will take some pressure off the rest of school districts' budgets. Meanwhile, leaders on the Joint Finance Committee also finalized tax cuts, a key priority for Republicans, by about $1.3 billion for Wisconsinites. Those cuts will apply to retirees and folks in the second lowest tax bracket. Of course, this proposal would need the governor's signature. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Concessions will be available in the Killian Meyer building during Church League softball, with proceeds going towards construction of dugouts at Crosscut Park. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Another win for the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, basketball, NBA Finals. The Oklahoma City Thunder, with a victory at home last night, 120-109 over the Indiana Pacers. OKC's Jalen Williams, with a playoff career-high 40 points, was asked how were the Thunder defensively able to hold off the Pacers this time in the fourth quarter.
Everybody's just really aggressive. Everybody takes pride in it, and when you have five guys on the floor that are taking pride in their matchup, it makes your defense very special. So we're all willing to cover for each other and just make the right read defensively, and when we mess up, we don't stop.
Game six is Thursday night. OKC up 3-2. Baseball tonight, the Brewers against the first-place Cubs in Chicago. Milwaukee's been on a roll since they swept the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park. Trevor McGill.
I mean, I feel like the team's been doing it for a couple of weeks now, ever since that Phillies, you know, kind of turnaround series. You know, we're stringing some wins together.
That's Brewers pitcher Trevor McGill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms late this afternoon. Our high 83. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms 64. Tomorrow, thunderstorms with heavy rain, an inch or more possible. Our high tomorrow in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, Canada. No, wait, look, I'm back in Chippewa Falls. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, June 17th. It is another beautiful all-American morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening or watching us on all of our different platforms. Thanks for starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Can you believe they let me back into the country? Tony on YouTube, wait, you came back? And Alicia, oh, hey, welcome home. Well, hey, yeah, here I am. It worked. Here was the funny part about it. Apparently, my flight home Sunday from Saskatchewan, which was canceled, had something to do with a tire issue. So imagine how it was a bit unnerving sitting on this, you know, propeller-driven plane. I didn't even know they had those anymore. And I'm in like row 19 now because I'm on the next day's flight. And don't realize until I hear the ka-thunk and I see the wheel coming out because it's below the wing and I'm sitting right behind the wing. And so I'm looking at this wheel coming down going, okay, I'm examining it like I'm a technician from Goodyear, you know. And it's like, how's that tire look? Okay, it's okay. And it worked. The propellers worked. The tires worked, you know. And like Alicia says, hey, at least, you know, you can take this show international. Yes, I can. Tony asks, does the air smell freer? Oh, no. No, Tony, it does not at all. Although it's always interesting to talk to people from another country about their government and what they think. And in this case, in this day and age, how their government is compared to, say, our government and the complications that it's throwing at them. We will talk about that today in the area of farming with Hans Breitenmoser this morning, because I do recall late last week, President Trump putting up posts saying, you know, oh, this mass deportation might not be so good for our great farmers and our hospitality industry and things will change. Did they? Will they? Or was that flip-flop just going to be flip-flopped again? I honestly don't know. We're going to find out and see more about what this uncertainty does to America's food supply, not just the farms, but everything else that's connected with it. So we'll have that coming up with Hans Breitenmoser along the way. Dan Schaefer will be joining us, Civic Media's political editor, founder of the Recombobulation Area, author of a column that said Governor Evers should consider not running for a third term. Dan then went on to cover the state Democratic convention. We'll see what the reaction was like to his column there. And so we'll see if he got a lot of blowback, if he got affirmation. How did he interpret Governor Evers' remarks at the convention? I'll have a few things to say about the governor and the state budget debate in the legislature coming up at the bottom of this hour, because a Republican state senator may have already telegraphed what the Republican strategy is on the state budget. Don't do anything. like literally do nothing. Probably taking a hint from their friends in Congress who haven't been able to pass a budget bill in a couple of years here. And we'll explain why they might do that and what would be the political benefits and the political risks, not to mention how it would affect, you know, you and me. That's all coming up later this hour. Lou Anne Bird will be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour to talk about the ways that more people around Wisconsin are making it clear to their elected representatives that President Trump's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill should not slash affordable, stable health care from Medicaid to tens of thousands of people in Wisconsin. And so Lou Anne will join us to talk more about that effort. We'll talk to Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12, WJFW TV in Rhinelander, at his new time, which will be at 7:20 instead of 6:50. Today's history lesson is, as comedian Ron White likes to say, loaded. There's a lot of history to pass along today. So we will be working on that at 6:50. Dan Hagen at 7:20. All that and much more. Brittany Merlo's forecast as well, which continues to have showers and thunderstorms in it for the next few days, but the heat is on the way. And I mean the heat is on the way for the weekend. So get ready for a hot, steamy weekend that could be coming up here in very short order. A reminder that you can text the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or you can text us from the Civic Media app, or you can put comments on Facebook or YouTube. That would be the Facebook and YouTube pages of Civic Media and the Facebook and YouTube pages of Up North News. If you're listening on the radio and ever can't or ever want to catch what we look like as we're trying to mug it up here and do this show for you, come find us on one of those social media pages. You can also email the show, radio at upnorthnewswi.com, where you can also answer our question of the week that we ask in our Sunday morning newsletter all the time, something that you can sign up for over at upnorthnewswi.com. And it comes back to that Dan Schaefer column. Three-term Tony, up or down? What do you think? Should Governor Evers run for a third term? And, of course, you've got people in three different buckets. You've got people saying, well, of course he should run for a third term. He's the one best suited to win. He's got a good record. He would look like the centrist and the moderate to most Wisconsin voters compared to whatever extremist gets the Republican Party nod. And I don't feel like I'm engaged in hyperbole there. I can't think of a moderate Republican that would be named, one that would make Tony Evers look radical liberal by comparison. So there's people who want Tony Evers to run. There's people who don't, who say we like him, fans of him, but you know he maybe can't win a third term and Democrats should pass the torch. And then, of course, there's people that say that he shouldn't run because, you know, they're Republicans and not fans of him. Anyway, folks who get our Sunday newsletter, we're the first to start answering that question of the week. You can send us an email, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Lots of good responses have come in already, and we'd be very happy to get yours as well. Also, if you want to listen to the show as a podcast, well, we'd love to have you there as well. All you got to do is head over to Spotify, and you can then subscribe to the show, pod us, if you will, at Spotify, Apple as well, or wherever you get your podcasts, and of course at civicmedia.us. Brittany Merlot will be here a little after the 7 o'clock news, but here's her state forecast. She says, an unsettled week of weather rolls on with rounds of showers and storms continuing, but the heat will crank up just in time for the weekend, she says. Partly sunny with rounds of showers and thunderstorms, especially in southern Wisconsin today. Highs in the mid-70s up north to the mid-80s in the south. A northwest wind at 5 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy up north, cloudy south with chances of rain. Lows tonight in the mid-50s up north to the mid-60s south. And then a light northerly wind as well. Right now here in Chippewa Falls, it's 64 degrees. And despite many ominous-looking lines of showers and thunderstorms, we got very, very little here. Other places got dumped on. Some parts in the Twin Cities got heavy, heavy rain, flash flooding, flooding out some of the streets for a time there. So you definitely want to stay weather aware and catch that local forecast throughout the broadcast day all across your favorite Civic Media stations. Meanwhile, down in Madison, in Madison Studio A2, we find Parker Olson, who did yeoman's work yesterday filling in for yours truly when he had to dash off to the airport in Regina, make it back across the border and do this program. But Parker got the job done. Parker, thank you, and good morning.
Good morning, Pat. I was starting to think you forgot about me for a second there. I was like, dang, we're almost 10 minutes into the show. He hasn't said anything about me.
You know, there's all the housekeeping to get done. Sign up for our newsletter. Here are the guests. Here's the forecast.
And it's a lot of things.
It's a lot of things before we can actually be conversant over here. But now we get to do it. How was Laura Bird, our 8:30 guest yesterday, author who is going to talk about memoirs? That's about the time I was dashing off to the airport. Oh, wait, let me fix that. Dashing off to the airport until my phone beeped. And it said, your luggage is no longer nearby, which doesn't make sense because we were dashing to the airport. But I have an Apple tag for my luggage.
Left it at the house.
Well, the suitcase was in the truck. I knew that.
Oh.
But the where I put the Apple tag is in my toiletry bag. And that was still in the bathroom of our friend's house.
It's always the toiletry bag that gets you.
Which, you know, at first she was like, our friend who was driving was like, what do you want? And I'm like, throw it out. It's toothpaste. It's toothbrushes. But then I realized it's not just the Apple tag, but my glasses were in there and something else. We're like, okay, we got to go back. Yeah. So I was going to listen to your interview with Laura Bird at 8:30, but things were a little sideways at that moment. So how'd it go?
It was good. Luke came in pinch hit for that one a little bit, hosting for the last half hour there. He had a really good conversation with her about a couple of those books. Yeah, it was a good time. A little hectic. It was good, though.
Did it give you any thoughts of writing your own memoir at some point here?
Oh, I've always thought about writing a book, Pat, actually. This is actually true. As
Tony notes, you are a national champion, Parker, right there. So
that's true. I might have to write a book. I have many stories.
Do you have stories already?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, this should be good.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think. How old are you again?
22. Pat's going, 22. Oh, God, what stories could he have?
What stories could he have? And then I think of my own stories and go, okay, I can see it. All right. Look, everybody's got a story. That's the thing. And if you, everybody says, oh, I don't have a story. If you ask the right questions in just the right way, if somebody's in just the right frame of mind, everybody's got stories.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a way of leading to it. You don't know what's going to trigger it. I wasn't going to tell the Apple tag in a toiletry bag story until the right moment came up. And there it was, you know. So stand by, everybody, for the memoirs of Parker Olson on a bookshelf near you sometime in the next 40 years. The Milwaukee Brewers are on the road this week. They were off yesterday. 3 games at Wrigley Field starting tonight against the Chicago Cubs. It's going to be a big series, and coverage begins at 6:30 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more, but there will be games this evening, tomorrow evening, and I want to say Thursday afternoon. I think it's a day game. I'm going to call that up right now just so that I'm not a liar. Yep, sure enough. So first pitch is 7:05 tonight and tomorrow, and then 1:20 on Thursday afternoon is the first pitch. And then they're off to Target Field to take on the Twins in games Friday evening, Saturday afternoon, and Sunday afternoon. Big series. They'll be back home next Monday for a homestand that starts next Monday with 3 games against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And again, if you're looking for a little day game, a little matinee, get off of work for a little while, that'll be next Wednesday against the Pirates, a 1:10 start there. So maybe make a plan to play a little hooky and get on down to the ballpark. Let's see. The NBA Finals continued, and the Oklahoma City Thunder beat the Indiana Pacers, and 120-109 was the final there. So the Thunder are now up 3-2, coming close to being able to clinch the finals after a tough run by the Pacers, or the Pacers could tie it up next time around and force a Game 7. And then the Stanley Cup Finals tonight, Game 6 in Florida. Florida could clinch, or Edmonton could force a Game 7. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wasota, thank you for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today. An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bumper music there. It's like our little Grateful Dead excursion right there. It's part of our morning, yeah. Powered by Up North News. That was interesting. I think I've only heard that once before when we had Deadhead Dan Schumacher on the program.
There you go.
I think that's how they came down. Back to our daily newsletter at Up North News. In today's edition, I was just peeking at that, and Christina Laurie's got stories in there about cheese curds in Wisconsin, about great places to catch the Northern Lights. And then she's also got a story, and I thought I would share some of the details of it here. Do you know how much it costs you every time Donald Trump goes to play golf? And look, yeah, I can already hear people going, well, you know, President Obama played golf. Yeah, they all play golf. Well, most of them. But the expense, the extent to which a certain president plays golf rather than, you know, working. According to a Government Accountability Office report, back during his first term in office, Donald Trump's trips to Mar-a-Lago, each one costs about $3 million. Trump and his entourage fly down on Air Force One. The military is to bring down vehicles for his motorcade, so those come down on C-17 transports. Because Mar-a-Lago straddles the width of a barrier island, police boats with machine guns mounted on the bows patrol the intercoastal waterway. A Coast Guard vessel is stationed off the beach. There's explosive sniffing dogs and other law enforcement. The Palm Beach Sheriff's Office has to maintain a presence in the air, on the ground, and in the water around Mar-a-Lago 24 hours a day. That's an additional $240,000 a day. And, of course, to me, the kicker is always that Trump stays at his own properties. The Secret Service is there to protect him, but he charges them for the rooms. And it's one thing if Secret Service has to stay at a hotel and the hotel's reimbursed, but this is the president who's making money off of this. And so all of that money that the taxpayer is charged for his own Secret Service protection goes to him. So a lot more about that in our newsletter that you can sign up for over at upnorthnewswi.com. I was looking at some of the other stories that we have on the website here. There's also one that I wanted to share called Four Wisconsin Factory Tours That Are Worth the Drive. And we'll talk about this a lot more in the coming days, but we love a good story about Wisconsin weekend road trips. And so these factory tours involve bikes, beer, cheese, and more. So look for that on our website over at upnorthnewswi.com. Happy anniversary to the Watergate burglars. It was on this day in 1972, 53 years ago, that five White House operatives were arrested for breaking into the offices of the Democratic National Committee to illegally wiretap the George McGovern campaign. It was as stupid an idea in politics as they come because, as most folks of a certain age know, Nixon would go on to win 49 states in the presidential election of 1972. The only reason you would bug an opponent that you would end up winning in 49 states is out of paranoia. And Nixon had that in droves. He would resign in disgrace 2 years later for his extensive efforts to cover up his role in the whole Watergate mess. But here's the thing that brings us to the present day. One of Nixon's TV advisors was a guy named Roger Ailes, who didn't believe in things like honor and contrition and playing by the rules. When Nixon resigned, it started the wheels turning for Roger Ailes for what would start as Fox News and the right-wing media constellation that has become so prevalent that a guy like Donald Trump could not only get elected president twice, not be impeached not once, but twice, after being caught red-handed committing crimes, and lacking any honor, not only refuse to slink away, but position himself to become a potential dictator. And that was all because a right-wing messaging ecosystem had been created by Roger Ailes, who thought, well, if only Nixon could get his side of the story out, you know, the side with the paranoia and the burglary and the using the attorney general as your own personal attorney and threatening to use the sick the IRS on your opponents. If only you could go do those things and make it sound good, you could get enough Americans to support you. And that's exactly what happened since then. By all accounts, for those of us who, again, grew up in a certain age, having somebody with 34 felony convictions, convicted on sexual assault-related charges, so many business failures, would not come anywhere near sniffing distance of the White House, much less be in it with all of the transfer of wealth from the middle class to others, the charging of taxpayers, as I mentioned earlier, for all of his rounds of golf. But a right-wing media ecosystem that has sprung up and cocooned those who would just as soon say, you know, we don't really need to have those pesky elections. Why don't we see if we can get courts to overturn them? Why don't we not actually have debates over ideas? Let's just rule Congress. At the state level, why don't we just gerrymander the maps and be proud of it until or unless a court forces us to make things better? Now that's going to take me to my next topic at the state level, where Republicans in Madison appear to be on the cusp of borrowing an idea from their brethren in Congress. And that's to just not debate a budget. Don't work with Democrats. Don't look for a win-win. Don't look for the moderate course. If you want to go extreme, go extreme. And sometimes the best way to go extreme is to do nothing. And I'll explain what we mean in just a little bit. Dan Schaefer still coming up today. Chad Holmes is along the way. Luann Bird and much more. Thanks for spending some time here as part of your mornings powered by Up North News. We'll have more live from Chippewa Falls after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Employees on any farming operation are incredibly valuable. Are you letting them know that? I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Michael Hoffman's president of Igniting Performance, and he works really closely with agriculture organizations like professional dairy producers, helping them develop leaders within the family business. And he said, you just have to realize today's farms are not what you think.
This is not your grandparents' or great-grandparents' farm. So you've got people that work in and around, multi-generations, multicultural. Now we're even considering skill sets that people are bringing. We're talking about technology now. We're talking about dealing with data now that never had to before. It's not just workers. It's a different mindset as to who's coming on. But the foundation is still, how do I become part of this as opposed to just a victim of a lot of work? And that is where we put emphasis on growing culture, helping the people feel like family. We create family. We're not the victims of family. We're not the victims of culture. We create culture, and that takes purposefulness and skill.
That's Michael Hoffman with Igniting Performance, trying to help dairy operations all across the United States, but especially in Wisconsin, create that culture, create that family that keeps employees in place. Well, markets as we get rolling on a Tuesday morning. Dow Jones Industrial Average looking pretty bleak right now. Commodities not so bad. Numbers are next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
In overnight electronic trade this morning, July corn's unchanged. December new crop currently 2 cents stronger at 437. July beans are up to November new crop, up a penny right now at 1062. July wheat 6 cents stronger currently at 542. Yesterday, the 40-pound block cheese dropped 5.75 cents to 178, while AA butter gained another 2.25 cents to 259.25 per pound. The July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 20 cents this morning at 1816 a hundredweight. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms late this afternoon. Our high 83. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms 64. Tomorrow, thunderstorms with heavy rain, an inch or more possible. Our high tomorrow in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 65.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4, I'm joined by Senate candidate in Iowa, J.D. Scholten. He's running against Joni Ernst. I'm joined by Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson and State Senator Dora Drake talking biennial budget. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
All right, this is normally the point where I jump on the little civic media sheet and I go, hey, who else is coming up on these fine civic media programs later on today? That would include for Matinee on Air in the 10 a.m. hour, retired Major General Randy Manner from National Security Leaders for America. Then on the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4, there will be an appearance by James Small, the Rural EMS Outreach Program Manager at the UW School of Medicine and UW School of Medicine and Public Health. On the Maggie Dawn Show in the 4 o'clock hour, J.D. Scholten, a former Courier Newsroom video creator and commentator, who is now a U.S. Senate candidate running against Joni Ernst. He is a state representative in the Iowa legislature. At 4:30, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson will give his perspective on having federal troops in Los Angeles and, of course, the tragic happenings in Minnesota and also the events coming up for Juneteenth. And in the 5 o'clock hour, State Senator Dora Drake from the Milwaukee area will discuss some issues related to her role as vice chair of the Senate Democratic Caucus and chair of the Wisconsin Legislative Black Caucus. And, of course, you can catch Night Late with Pete Schwabe this evening as well, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's get a bit of a Republican or get a bit of a state budget update now, thanks to a post recently made by a Republican state senator, Chris Kapinga of Waukesha County. He's giving the first unofficial indication of where, in my opinion anyway, Republicans were going to be all along on the state budget. They are so tired and frustrated by Governor Tony Evers' veto pen and his partial veto powers, which are among the strongest in the country. They're so frustrated, they'd rather claim that the more responsible path for a state budget is to leave things as is. I've never been willing to bet the farm on Republicans actually passing a new state budget. And Kapinga's comments are a fresh sign that this is the direction Republicans might choose to go in. They may see doing nothing as their best path forward. On Twitter, Kapinga writes the following. Wisconsin's state budget expires on June 30th. There are three options based on what I'm seeing. One, accept the governor's budget. Kapinga writes, the governor made clear he wants significant spending and tax increases. The requests don't even make sense. It's a non-starter, he writes. Number two, support the budget being drafted by Republican members of Joint Finance. This version also appears to be adding unnecessary spending without any reforms that would improve the budget process or dig into wasteful spending currently in place. An additional major risk in doing this is the state Supreme Court has allowed the governor to do essentially whatever he wants with his veto pen. No bueno, Kapinga writes. And then he says option three, allow the existing budget to carry over. It would be the lowest spending increase in a decade and have no veto pen risk unless something improves, he says. I'm going with option three. And some of the initial headlines made it sound like Chris Kapinga was having some kind of a revolutionary break with members of his own party. And I disagree. I think he's telegraphing where they might want to go. Before I go deeper into that, though, can I just go back to his part about option number two which is what the Joint Finance Committee might eventually create, you know, the Joint Finance Committee with 12 Republicans and 4 Democrats. What I find interesting is his insistence that, well, he's insinuating his fellow Republicans haven't done enough to do, how did he phrase it here? The reforms that would dig into wasteful spending currently in place. Tell me again, who's been in charge of the Wisconsin legislature for the past 14 years? If there is wasteful spending currently in place, who's doing it? Can't say it was Democrats. They haven't been running the legislature for 14 years. But anyway, back to the larger picture. Kaepernick says maybe don't pass a new state budget. Just keep limping along without updating how state government operates. Now, if this sounds familiar to you, it's because it's what Republicans in Congress have been doing for the past 2 years themselves. We see the deadlines. We keep hearing about the potential for a government shutdown. And then Republicans pass what are called continuing resolutions that simply kick the can and keep the old budget operating. It's also why there hasn't been a new farm bill since 2018. Kicking the can, because governing is hard. Now, this is not completely unexpected in terms of a strategy. Think back to about a year and a half ago or so. Senator Ron Johnson was asked about being part of the least productive Congress in history. And his response was to say that if he had things his way, Congress wouldn't pass any more bills. None. They'd stop working. He says this with his usual extremist anti-democracy hyperbole. He says every bill that gets passed makes things worse. No, it doesn't. Those are the words of someone who doesn't want democracy, where you have to debate your values and accept the results in Congress or at the ballot box. Ron Johnson believes he knows what's best for you, and if you'd only let him and Donald Trump rule by executive orders rather than writing bills and holding votes, well, things would be better off, especially if you're in the same tax bracket as Ron Johnson or Donald Trump. So let's bring it back to state government. Why would Republicans not send a new budget bill to Governor Tony Evers? Isn't that politically risky? It is. It does open up Republicans to charges of being a bunch of do-nothings, in line with their practice for many years now in the legislature of doing only a few months of work at the start of the year and then taking taxpayer-funded vacation for the rest of the year, despite a full-time salary, despite full-time job status. To them, that's what small government is. Don't solve problems. Don't invest in making anything bigger. But there's more to this approach of not passing a budget. And it comes back to something I haven't mentioned for a while, but I have been talking about it for nearly 4 years now. They're trying to pull off a heist. Because once again, there's a budget surplus at the state level. And once again, they would love to put all that into tax cuts aimed at helping their wealthiest friends first, and maybe some crumbs for everybody else. But Tony Evers and his veto pen are in the way, so they stall. Their hope 4 years ago was that he'd be one-term Tony. He'd lose his re-election bid, and then a Republican governor, in this case Tim Michels, would sign their budget bill that squanders those billions of dollars. It would have been a heist. And they would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for those meddling voters who gave Governor Evers a second term. And now we're at that point again. If Republicans don't send him a budget bill, the surplus, your money, just sits there the way it has been. It doesn't fix a broken school funding system. It doesn't expand affordable health care in the state. It doesn't create jobs through infrastructure and economic investments. It sits and waits for a Republican to maybe win the governor's race in 2026 when the heist can finally be pulled off. This is all serious stuff, but allow me to lighten things up in explaining why I don't think it'll work. You see, when Republicans try to be cute this way, I've seen it in Madison, I've seen it in Washington, D.C., they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. In this case, Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, And his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. Chris Kapinga is signaling that they still see Governor Evers not as a partner in governing. They don't want to govern together. They don't want to work together on tax cuts and important investments. They see Governor Evers as an opponent, like the Roadrunner, to be defeated. And their tactic could work. If they spend enough money next year on election ads, they could maybe convince enough voters that not writing a new state budget was their only way to be fiscally conservative against a mean and extremist governor. But their excuses will come undone because voters see the long record. They see the extended taxpayer-funded vacations. They see how much Republicans detest Governor Evers. They see how they sneer at affordable health care coverage for more than a million people in the state through Medicaid as welfare. They see Republicans blocking extended postpartum Medicaid health care coverage to new moms. Blocking health care coverage to new moms. They see the gerrymandered maps. They see the negative messages that have lost, what, four of the last five state Supreme Court elections? Voters don't like to pay a lot of attention to politics, especially state politics. But they do pay attention to messaging. They do pay attention to productivity. They do know who's working on their behalf much of the time. And so if what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, well, in my view, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas opened up to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads next year. Over in the comment section, Alicia is looking at what the legislature has been doing the past few years and says about not writing a new state budget. It screams laziness, stubbornness, and childishness to me. Tony says, because everyone knows government has got it all figured out. Wait, tons of things are broken, like the tax code. And whatever happened to auditing health insurance companies who deny a bunch of claims? That's the kind of thing that Tony Evers put in his budget bill that Republicans took out. And again, there's so many things going on that most folks didn't even know Governor Evers proposed it. Fewer yet know that Republicans pulled it out. So I'm going to mention it again. Governor Evers proposed in his budget a provision that says to health insurance companies, if you're doing business in Wisconsin, if you're taking Wisconsin taxpayers' premium dollars to provide health care coverage, and you have a consistent track record of denying legitimate claims, you're going to get audited. And let's find out what's behind this. And let's find out, are you a health insurance company or are you scamming the taxpayers of Wisconsin, the health insurance customers of Wisconsin? It's a bold pro-consumer idea to ensure that businesses are not taking advantage of unscrupulous business practices. And Republicans took it out of the budget bill. Now, will they write their own budget bill? That's the part that remains to be seen. But we've now told you why they might choose not to. And if they don't, the current budget, you know, state government won't shut down. We'll just continue to operate under the old budget. It also means things won't get any better. We won't be fixing the things that we could be fixing. We won't be addressing the things that need to be addressed, like PFAS in our drinking water. If that's really the goal, to do nothing, to look fiscally conservative, as Chris Kapinga puts it, to have the lowest spending increase in a state budget, I mean, they can take that to the voters. I feel pretty confident how enough voters are going to interpret that. Still ahead, Dan Schaefer, Chad Holmes, Lou Ann Bird, Hans Breitenmoser. But first, today's history lesson is next, as we always do, mornings, powered by Up North News, and live here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. May 12th, the U.S. Department of Justice reportedly requested all the state of Colorado's records relating to the 2024 federal election and the preservation of records related to the 2020 election. The request may relate to President Trump's effort to free a convicted Colorado election official. The records request is massive. In November 2024, there were 4.65 million registered Colorado voters, 3.3 million of whom cast ballots in the presidential election. Then consider the records from every electronic ballot tabulator, voter registration and verification documents for each voter, and more. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold told NPR, "What they're going to do with all this data, I don't know, but I'm sure they'll use it to push their ridiculous disinformation and lies to the American public," she said. There is speculation that it may be related to convicted Mesa County elections official Tina Peters, sentenced to 9 years for giving voting machine access to conspiracy theorists tied to MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. The week before the Colorado records request, DOJ was directed by President Trump to, quote, take all necessary action to help secure the release of Peters. To date, Colorado has reportedly provided two copies of its master voter list to DOJ and its 2024 voter history file. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, Pat, you're muted.
Oh, here, I had such a good riff going on about Lola.
I'm sure you did. I wanted to hear you singing with her.
Faded feathers in her hair and a dress cut down to there.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to Barry Manilow, who is 82 years old today. Born in Brooklyn, gave us 51 top 40 singles on the Adult Contemporary chart, 36 hits in the top 20, 28 top 10 hits, 13 number ones. And
is that good?
Cabana. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. The guy was everywhere in the late 70s. And the thing is, before that even, he was a successful jingle writer. Oh. He's the one who wrote "Like a Good Neighbor, State Farm is There."
Really?
He wrote "I'm Stuck on Band-Aid because Band-Aid's stuck on me." He wrote "You Deserve a Break Today" for McDonald's.
Wow.
He wrote jingles for Kentucky Fried Chicken and, for Pepsi and more.
Wow.
So
quite the resume.
He's written a few tunes, and he's 82 years old today. Congratulations. Happy birthday to Barry Manilow. Folks going, hey, where's Dan Hagen? He's normally here on Tuesdays. We've made a bit of a schedule change. There's so much history all the time. Didn't it always feel like we weren't giving Dan nearly enough time?
I always felt bad going like, hey, Dan, do you have a 30-second story you can share real quick?
Yeah. So what we've done is Dan's going to join us now at 7:20 on Tuesdays. So he'll be here in less than a half hour. If by chance you're listening to a station that cuts away and does a local update at 7:20, you can watch us online, Facebook or YouTube, or subscribe on Spotify or Apple as a podcast and catch Dan later. So you'll be seeing him there. In 1972, on this date, the Spinners stepped into a Philadelphia recording studio for the first time with their new producer, Tom Bell. And the session is very productive, yielding two of their biggest hits, including this one. The Spinners would also put out I'll Be Around from that session, again, 53 years ago. On this day in 1885, the Statue of Liberty arrives in New York Harbor. Nowadays, Donald Trump would turn the boat away. Dolly Parton stepped into a recording studio this day in 1973, and here was the result. On this day in 1963, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 8-1 against a school district about requiring the reciting of Bible verses and the Lord's Prayer in public schools. Just a reminder, freedom of religion allows you the freedom of your religion, not to dictate somebody else's. The number one song this date in 1978 was by Andy Gibb. Got some more birthdays here. Venus Williams, tennis legend, is 45 years old today. Kendrick Lamar is 38 today, born in Compton. At 8 years old, Kendrick watched Tupac and Dre film California Love in his neighborhood, filming the video, and decided right then and there he wanted to be a rapper. On this day in 2008 came Katy Perry's major label debut, One of the Boys, with this hit single. This was a big day for a lot of folks in 1994. On this day in 94, following a low-speed highway chase, O.J. Simpson was arrested for the murders of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ronald Goldman. And he would eventually beat the charges, but be convicted of other crimes and passed away not long ago. On this day in 2006, Shakira landed her first number one hit in the U.S. On this day in 2021, the Juneteenth National Independence Day was signed into law by President Joe Biden, making it a federal holiday, and it will be observed on Thursday of this week. It is Global Garbage Man Day. That's the name of it, Global Garbage Man Day. So if you have a garbage lady or a garbage hostess, whatever, no offense taken. It just happens to be marked as Global Garbage Man Day. This is National Apple Strudel Day. This is National Eat Your Vegetables Day. Mm. Parker, are you a vegetable eater?
Not a big vegetable eater. I mean, yeah. Corn, sweet corn. Love corn on the cob.
Oh, no. Now we're going to hear from people about whether corn is a vegetable or not. You ever know, so you get that with almost everything? Oh, a tomato, it's a fruit. And just, we know what we like.
I don't care what it's called. I'm going to eat it.
There you go. Yeah. Born this day in 1923, Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch passed away back in 2004, a native of Wausau. Crazy Legs Hirsch played college football as a halfback at the University of Wisconsin in 1942 and Michigan in 1943, turning both teams into top five powerhouses. He received the nickname Crazy Legs for his unusual running style. Dan Jansen is 60 years old today, speed skater from West Allis High School. Inspired by his sister Jane, he took up speed skating while growing up. In Calgary, he fell a couple of times shortly after his sister had passed away. He won no medals in 1992 either, but then in 1994, Dan Jansen struck gold, setting a world record in the 1,000 meters for speed skating. Another sports-related birthday, Mark Tauscher is 48 years old from Auburndale High School. Spent his 11-year career as an offensive tackle for the Packers after making the Badger football squad as a walk-on in 1995. He was a key blocker for Ron Dayne in his 1999 Heisman Trophy winning season. He remains an advocate for childhood reading, having lived in Sun Prairie and talking about how childhood reading programs helped him overcome early difficulties. Still a lot ahead for two more hours as we get rolling on another one of these Tuesday mornings powered by Up North News. We've got Dan Schaefer coming up before long talking about the state Democratic convention this past weekend. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey,
come on, let's go. Real slow. Baby, like this is perfect. Oh, you know I'm on tonight. My hips don't...
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sabertson. President Trump is back in Washington, having left the G7 summit in Canada early due to the Israel-Iran fighting. Aboard Air Force One, the president said he wasn't aiming for a ceasefire, but for a permanent end or for Iran giving up. He urged people to evacuate Tehran. Also on the plane, Mr. Trump was asked if he plans to call Minnesota Governor Tim Walz about the deadly shootings of state lawmakers.
I'm not calling. Why would I call him? I could call him and say, hi, how you doing? The guy doesn't have a clue. He's a mess. So, you know, I could be nice and call him, but why waste time?
One of the worst Russian air attacks in Ukraine's capital of the war happened overnight. Drones and missiles killing at least 14, say Ukrainian officials. One of the two doctors accused in the overdose death of Friends TV star Matthew Perry is expected to plead guilty with a maximum sentence of 40 years in prison.